on in Thanksgiving here on this Sunday after Thanksgiving. Well, I got an exciting message on Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday that I'm going to preach today. And the themes of those are selfishness and covetousness and greediness. And so I'll try and keep this as a positive message, because Christians, praise the Lord, do not need to be tangled in any of those things. Hallelujah. And so, but the world is. And so it's a contrast, again, that we have between us and the world, and our attitude needs to be right, even in these days, as we see the world going more and more after materialism. I decided to go ahead and preach this when I looked at some of the debate about when they were going to get the Christmas celebration stuff out, and the Christmas lights up, and all the stuff marketed in the stores, and decided, boy, it's the materialism of our society has gone so great that it just dwarfs out anything about the real Christmas. It dwarfs out anything about Christ. And I want to make sure that we don't get tangled up in that, but indeed that we can use that even as a testimony for God's goodness during these times of the year. So let's start in a text over in the book of Luke. I thought this would be a good one to start. Luke chapter 12. And look again at the cares that God has for us. And they're not the cares of this world, praise the Lord. And look at the materialism that's all around us. And just praise the Lord anew and afresh that we don't have to be tangled in it. And there's probably no better illustration of this than is found in Luke and chapter 12. And I think let's go ahead and begin our reading in verse 13. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. A little focus on materialism here on today. As we're kind of between this Thanksgiving and Christmas celebration and holiday season, I want, again, that we keep our heads on right and use this time of the year to just lift up our Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son of God, who we worship. And He was born, praise the Lord. And as we consider those things, Dave mentioned something about we all worship the same God in Sunday school today, the church down there, and took Baptist out of their name. I'm glad they took Baptist out of their name before they made that precept, but we don't all worship the same God. Our God has an only begotten Son.
Amen.
Other gods don't have that, again, and the gods that are worshipped by this world, even the a God that's lifted up by the evolutionist in America, even Bill Clinton, who gave his Thanksgiving proclamation and said, worship the deity of your choice. My. So our God has an only begotten Son, and we worship Him. And that makes us a little different here than the rest of the world, and I want that this difference would show up for the next couple months especially. So let's go ahead and take to Luke chapter 12. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and I'll read down here as long as I'm still comfortable reading. We'll just keep on going. Starting there, I think, in verse 13 is kind of where this theme picks up in the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, but God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and no tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you again for this passage of Scripture, and we look again at some of our own concerns over the materials and things of this world, and Father, rebuke our own faithlessness just to put our trust and faith the more in you. And so I pray again that you'd use this portion and use what's going on in this whole world all around us, Father, to open our eyes to your great care for us. And Father, that we'd again learn to love you more, learn to trust you more in all these things. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Let's look a little bit at these three things that's rebuked in this parable. And then, Lord willing, we'll look at another one. Remember, the disciples kept arguing amongst themselves who's going to be the greatest. And so I want to look at that too for a little bit. That has less to do with the material things of this world, but we still get into spats about that being the greatest and lifted up ourselves. And so, well, look at some of these things under these three categories. First, selfishness. Selfishness. It's an ugly word. Maybe not, but selflessness is what we're aiming for, but selfishness shows up. Secondly, covetousness. Of course, we know that's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Exodus something. Dave, where was that? Exodus chapter 20. And so, covetousness. And then I got separately here is a category of greed. I don't know if greed is covetousness or covetousness is greed, but greed to me is bigger than covetousness. Greed, I mean, you can covet a Corvette. My brother-in-law had a Corvette. And it's not okay to covet a Corvette again, but you could, it isn't like my brother had the only Corvette and I wanted his again, but the idea is that greed is that you want something and no one else can have it, kind of a theme. And so let's go ahead and look at those three different areas in our lives, and all of them are natural. All of them, again, are in our flesh, in our nature, to be selfish, to be covetous, to be greedy of things. And so let's look at them in our old nature, and then again, rebuke that old nature a little bit, make sure that isn't ruling and reigning in our lives. And then we'll look at the Christian way that God has given us to deal even with these three things. Think first of selfishness. I've had occasion to reference people, usually children, as selfish little ingrates. I always like that. I thought it was poetic again. In fact, I'd probably read it somewhere. A selfish little ingrate. All they're concerned about is me and me and me. Another phrase that come to my mind there is being self-centered. And we are self-centered. Engaged with a conversation with somebody, and they talked about me, myself, and I, and them, and what they were doing, and where they were going. And then they said this. They said, "Well, that's enough about me. What do you think about me?" And so notice that we can become very self-centered to where we don't even recognize people around us. We've mentioned here at Good Samaritan a couple times again that all of us are going through trials. All of us are going through struggles. And we have this tendency to focus in on ours and say, what's the song say? "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus." And sometimes we can bury ourselves in our own little self-pity party without realizing that, hey, there's a whole world going on out there. And again, we need to not just focus on ourselves, not turn every conversation to ourselves, what we've done, what we've been through, what we're going through. And so this self-centeredness or selfishness, again, needs to be rebuked in our lives. And I don't know, I've written down 100 thoughts here, and I don't know if we can fit them all in, but let's look at this. What are we to be instead of being selfish? And I got a couple verses here that I wanted to hit. And I don't know where they... Well, let's go ahead and look at the evil of all of these again. And then we'll go ahead and look at the scriptures that point to what we ought to be doing instead, because they overlap quite a bit. And so we can be very selfish and self-centered and thinking only of self. And again, that's not the Christian way. That's not what Christ did. You think again of the many times that Christ rebuked the disciples for even such behavior. And then notice also that we can get into this idea of being covetous. I got a ton of verses here on covetousness, and I don't know if we want to go through all of them, but I do want to want you to find them in your Bible again and mark them. And so we know that they're there. Let's start and flip through Psalms and Proverbs and just hit a couple of key verses. There's much said about covetousness in your Bible. Look at Psalms chapter 10 and verse 3. And we'll just get some pictures about what God thinks of covetousness in our lives. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." Notice that the wicked here has got his heart's desires. He isn't necessarily even coveting them, but what it says of him is he blesses covetousness. He likes it. He likes it in other people because it's present in himself again. And notice the declaration here of the psalmist that the Lord abhorreth covetousness. And we see that throughout scriptures. Look with me over to Psalms 119. Isn't it interesting? We found a Psalms 119 with some about covetous in verse 36. Psalm 119, if you want to learn the Hebrew alphabet, there it is all laid out for you in a good Oxford Bible. We'll have all of those Hebrew letters printed out for you. And verse 36 is under the Hebrew letter He. Now, what they do with these verses is all of them start with the same Hebrew letter. You've seen some of those in English where you start everything with the same letter. Maybe not. And you have to contort the language quite a bit in order to get them to work. And it's curious that all of these here, and these verse 33 through 40, all begin with the Hebrew letter He. And so it is all of Psalms 119. The other curious thing about Psalms 119 is that it's all got some reference to the Word of God, the statutes of God, the oracles of God, the principles of God. And so it's repeated throughout in eight different ways in octet verse of verses. Look up with me at verse 36, I think I said, Psalms 119. In verse 36 it says, "Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." Our heart might be inclined towards covetousness. If anyone got out on Black Friday, I didn't this year. I was homesick in bed, and praise the Lord for that. What was it, Small Business Saturday? Tomorrow, you'll notice all your internet speeds will be dwindled because everyone's on the internet tomorrow buying things. And Amazon, again, is going to be busy people tomorrow. But notice again here that this trend towards covetousness, this leaning towards covetousness, oughtn't to be in our lives, and God, we saw, already hates it. But here it is, an inclination. And rather than have an inclination towards covetousness, having things that we are desiring things that we don't have again, let's look at again is our inclination towards God's testimonies, as is mentioned here. One more, Proverbs 21 and verse 26 can teach us a few things about this covetousness. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 26, Bible says, "He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." I guess you got to start back there in verse 24. "Proud and haughty scorner is a name who dealeth with proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, and his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." A difference between coveting that's emphasized here and what we're supposed to have is a heart that's giving of ourselves, giving to others. And so we see that contrast even in this verse, that rather than covet things for ourselves, we should be giving to others. Again, there's a verse that talks about labor so that you have things so that you can give them away. Giving to others is the emphasis rather than coveting for ourselves. Well, Matthew chapter 7 speaks of a covetousness. Let's look at it real quickly. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. And I want us to get a good picture of this idea of coveting, because it plays right into our nature a little bit here. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wondrous works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so notice again here as we look at covetousness again, it's desiring things and even understanding a wrong relationship with our Lord here in Matthew chapter 7. And again, when we have a desire to give, a godly desire to give, to share, to be a blessing to others, even here, that can come from the wrong heart, from the wrong source. And so we want to make sure again that we don't have a covetousness. Let's look at this one in Colossians chapter 3. Of course, in Romans chapter 1, there's a great discussion of those that get twisted the wrong way. I've got lists of things that are in the heart of man continually and in the acts of flesh. often include that idea of covetousness is in our old heart, our old nature, our old way. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I know it was here in my Bible this morning. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible there says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And now it's got this list here. And notice again that we're to mortify. That means to kill it. Let it die. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And so these are part of our old nature. And it's got a list here. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and look at this last one in verse 5. Covetousness. And then it says, which is idolatry. And so some question there comes to the mind about who you're worshiping when we're entangled in covetousness. Who is your God? You're serving a false God. Bowing to, you're praying to, you're lifting up a false God, which is idolatry, when we are entangled in covetousness. Wanting things. Having a desire for things and wanting to have these things. We won't look there now, but again in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, talks of qualifications of a bishop. And one of them includes the fact that he not be covetous. Titus, he's given the qualifications of a bishop and a deacon, and one of those is that they not be self-willed. Again, and being out for self, and being out for self-centered and selfishness. And so we find these qualifications here as a bishop. Also in 1 Timothy 3:3, the next theme we want to look at a little bit is being greedy. And we already saw the one reference to covetous greediness, that we aren't to be greedy either. A bishop is not to be greedy, not to be covetous. And so notice in these negatives again that we have in our nature, that we're not to be living there anymore. We're not to be living in covetousness. Is it okay to just slip over there for a while when a Corvette goes by? No, it's not. Recognize again that that's idolatry. Amen. That we're looking after false gods when we're looking at things that we could have in this world. I used to enjoy going to the mall on Black Friday. I only did it like 2 years, and then that was overwhelming. It was more than I could stand. But there's been times when just greediness and covetousness and materialism. I mean, to go to the mall, that's a good place to make a study of those things. And I could stand on the corner and say, "Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men." You heard that before, right? That was the prayer of the bad guy. I forgot his name. And I'm not like these covetous, greedy people over here. But again, what we're naming here is the fact that, hey, that isn't our nature. And we got to guard that. And again, understand that we could be just like that. And here in our society, we're seeing an emphasis. Let me cover this quickly on greed. Greed, and there's several mentions in the Bible about greedy lion. Greedy is a dog. And so that's an animal instinct, maybe more so. But greed is the idea that I want it for myself and you can't have none. Greed is, again, is a opposite of sharing. Again, it's keeping it all for yourself. And it talks again about the what comes to my mind is the hyenas. You ever watch the hyenas on the specials trying to steal the meat from the lion again? And that's all greed that's going on there. And so notice that even though that's an animal instinct, an animal nature, boy, we can have that in our own lives. Just this idea of being greedy, greedy of gain, greedy of power. Boy, we're seeing it in Washington right now with the liberals bumped out of power. Boy, they're greedy to get back into power and to force their ideas on the rest of us because they're used to having that much power. Let's look real quickly at this other reference in Mark chapter 10. We should have buzzed over there when we're back in Mark 9. Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. This was always curious to me, and so I thought it'd be good to go ahead and read this whole thing. On the idea of being greedy, on the idea of desiring things for ourselves, even good things. And so we can see that here in this teaching that's given in Mark chapter 10. And I think let's go ahead and begin our reading in verse 35 and learn some things again about even desiring good things. And James and John, I'm on Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. And James and John, the son of Zebedee, came unto him, Jesus, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, look at verse 41. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Listen, bickering over power causes divisions and dissensions. It does in a church. Bickering over what color the vestibule is going to be painted. you wouldn't believe the things that people fight over, again, just to show that they're in control and they've got the power. And notice here again that it causes divisions, even here amongst the disciples. Verse 42. But Jesus called to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentile exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your ministers. And whosoever of you shall be the chiefest shall be servant to all. Let's stop and walk back through these now in the subject of greed, covetousness, and then selfishness, and look at what we are to be instead. What is the nature that's now to be in us? If you're a born-again Christian, we're to have a new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And this old nature needs mortified. This old nature needs to be, again, overcome in our lives. And notice here that even this idea of greatness, even amongst the servants of the Lord, the idea of greatness doesn't come like the world produces greatness. Doesn't come the way that man is exalted and moves up the chain, as it were, in the business world or the marketing world. Yea, indeed, Jesus clarifies here that, hey, if you want to be great, be a servant. Serve others. I don't like the title reverend. I like it applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, not so much to me. Some of you who know me, again, know that I'm not sometimes that reverend. I like the title of being a minister, because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to minister to others. And all of us are supposed to be ministers and minister to one another. And notice here that rather than being greedy of gain, being greedy of the highest position, rather than being greedy of sitting on the right hand and left hand of God, notice here again the idea that Jesus gave was, hey, you should be a servant. That's brought probably to light greater than all other messages when he took a towel and sent off his raiment and went about to wash the disciples' feet. it's not an ordinance of the church, but sometimes it probably wouldn't hurt us to do a foot washing again, where we wash each other's feet. Because again, that's the picture that he's given here, that if you want to be great, then be a great minister. Minister to others. Notice that that's the opposite of greediness. That's the opposite of covetousness. That's the opposite of selfishness. That is the epitome of selflessness. That you care little for yourself and you're looking out for the needs of others. And again, that goes against our nature. Our nature is selfish, self-centered. And again, this here is to be selfless. And so the greedy of gain, greeting of the top positions here instead. And notice again that greed includes an intense desire. And if you have an intense desire, there's a prayer I never understood in the Old Testament that says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And I thought the desires of my heart was a four-wheel drive Jeep Cherokee when I was up in the Adirondack Mountains. And I claimed that verse and said, Lord, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart, because the desires of my heart was a four-wheel drive. My little Datsun truck was stuck so many times, buried to the axle in mud, I said, I'm not coming out here fishing again unless I got a four-wheel drive. Notice again that that verse doesn't necessarily say that he'll give you the desires of your heart. What it says is he'll give you the desires of your heart. I know, that's the way I thought about it too. I had to think about that several times before I realized that if you acknowledge him, that he will give you the desires of your heart. And the desires of your heart won't be a four-wheel drive Jeep Cherokee. It'll be what God desires. You have his desires in your heart. And so he will give you the desires of his heart. And so notice in each of these here, especially in this idea of being greedy, there's this idea of having a desire of your heart and having, again, an animal greed, even a intense greed, an intense desire. And the same thing is true in our lesson here on covetousness. So what can we say about not being covetous, then? Not living in this idea of coveting things and other things of this world, and having a heart centered on covetousness. Two verses come to my mind. One of them, I heard someone quote it here at the church, and I've memorized Romans 12, 1 and 2. I never memorized the verses that came after that. So let's look real quickly at the verses after Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think I quoted Romans 12, 1 and 2 from my teenage years of memorizing Scripture. So if I still got it right now that I'm 66, I think I got it, most of it there. But I always stop there. Look at the next verse, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We're about to take a step into selflessness here, okay? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then it goes on about the gifts, and again on about the ministering, that we are to be ministers. We're all put together so that we could minister to one another. Here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, that's what we're to do, is to minister to one another. We come from different backgrounds, different natures, different ideas, but when we're put together here, it's so that we can be of one flesh and one mind. The flesh of Christ, and one mind of Christ, and that we could again minister to one another. And notice again the idea of covetousness kind of goes away. Greed has no place there, and even selfishness begins to disappear. The other, again, that comes to mind when I think about our selfish nature and our covetousness especially is Psalms that I mentioned here the other night at our dinner. Psalms chapter 23. What's the first line say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not covet. Woo. Is that what it says? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that word there means I shall not be wanting. I shall not be lacking. I shall not be longing for. I shall not be wanting for. And so notice again here that if we have Him as our shepherd, we aren't going to be covetous. We aren't going to be looking for other things. We're not going to be wanting in our life. Again, I tagged that, I guess, with the verse that says, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. I tie that with what we read in our opening here, that God will take care of you, that He'll meet your needs, that He'll watch out for you, and we ought not be coveting, pursuing things again instead. And then lastly, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians is just before Colossians chapter 2. And of course, the familiar scripture begins with, "Let this mind be in you." And so we're looking here again as we look in our society. We look at the marketing that has gone on. Oh my. We look at the marketing that has gone on in our society and all of the advertisements you're going to be badgered with here for the next month till Christmas of things that you want, things you can have, and things that would just, that I'll be happy the rest of my life if I only had. And so again, as we consider all those things, notice a trap a lot of the world falls in. But for us as Christians, we ought to have a different want to. We ought to have a different attitude towards the things of this world. And I can say that while Beverly and I are busy trying to pack up 20 years of things and putting them all in boxes, while I'm doing it for some of my stuff, I'm thinking I'll never open these boxes again the rest of my life. You know, why am I keeping this stuff? It's amazing how many things we can accumulate in this world. But the things sometimes become the most important aspects of our life, and they ought never be. Look with me at Philippians chapter 2. And again, let's take it up right there in verse 3. That can't be right. Verse 5, I'm sorry. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name." Let this mind be in you. And again, as we go through the materialism of our society over the next month, as we go through Christmas and look at again at what's the bumper sticker say? Whoever has the most things at the end wins. Listen, that's not what we're about. We're again about using everything we own, everything we have for His glory, for His honor. And so let's watch out for materialism. Watch out for this selfishness, covetousness, even greediness as we walk through these next few days. And I was your pastor, wanted to go ahead and give you a little insight and warning about that, because it gets into my life too. It gets into my situation when we see, again, people, just the amount that was spent on Friday on things. it's overwhelming sometimes, and we can think, man, I don't have that much. We've got a lot, praise the Lord. Amen. We've got way more than we'd ever need in this country again to do the things that God has left us here to do. Father, praise you again and thank you. I thank you again for Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, even Cyber Monday. Father, thank you that we aren't trapped in this old world and its trappings. And Father, that we have a home that's not of this world. And I pray again that you'd watch over and even give us opportunity to lift up your name, to let people know again that we have a city whose maker and builder is God. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for touching our hearts and meeting each need as we go through these next few days again and look at the materialism and the addictions of this world. And Father, realizing that you've made a great promise to take care of us and to meet our every need. And Father, to clothe us better than a lily. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for your blessing on each Christian here as we walk through these next couple months. Encourage, help us again to even to use the things that are binding and chaining and imprisoning this old world, Father, to speak about the freedom that we have in your only begotten Son. We'll praise you now and thank you for touching our hearts with your words. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Let's stand, and by invitation we'll sing, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen." No. That's not what we're going to sing. Let's go ahead and sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Just the first and last verse. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I will.